The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood, in the country looking hard to find a home, with nothing perfect or concealed.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. It is Hugh Hewitt. Good morning to you on this Monday. I am very, very pleased to be with you. I am I'm back in town, went away for the weekend, drove my 4 hours, saw my daughter in the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and came back, and so my back is whacked, but nevertheless, happy to be here. Let me give you the rundown on this Monday is the coronavirus is back in China. Half of Beijing districts report new coronavirus cases. 79 people hospitalized, 36 new infections in the Chinese capital city. And given the fact that it's an authoritarian dictatorship, they've locked it down. We don't do that. We encourage people to stay home. They just weld doors shut. And everything is vacant in Beijing again. We'll keep you posted. But that has had an impact on financial markets as stocks sink after the jump in China and in U.S. had some spikes in various places, but not the hospitalizations that China reports. So I want to do the international market check. I never do American markets in the morning because who knows where they're going to be in the afternoon. But let me see what is going on abroad. This is brought to you by Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Gold is holding steady at $1,718 an ounce, $1,718. Originally, I told you to buy and diversify into gold when it was at $1,400. It's been above $1,700 now. I think I'm broken for the last 2 months. If the inflation I expect in the near term, I don't mean 3 or 4 years down the road. I mean within the year. Gold will continue to advance. But even if it doesn't, even if it goes back to $1,400, it's the part of your portfolio that is always indestructible. So please go to HughGold.com and have Birch Gold send you the material on rolling over a portion of your IRA, 10, 15, 20%. Buying some gold for your safety deposit box. Always have some gold in your mix. It's like real estate, it's like stocks, it's like bonds. Fully diversified portfolio. Precious metals should be a part of that. And the place to do that is Birch Gold at HughGold.com. When we looked on Friday, it was a good day for everybody. The Dow was up 477 points. The NASDAQ was up 96. The S&P was up 39. But abroad today, Japan closed down almost 3.5%. Again, the return of coronavirus to China means that even though the West is disentangling itself from the PRC at a rapid fashion under President Trump's leadership, we're still intertwined. Production is still there. It's moving to India. It's moving to Vietnam, but it's still deeply in China. In England, late in the day, the stocks are down 1%. Even later in the day in Germany, they're down 1%. Not terrible. Not a rout. It's a concern. I believe that this is going to be the last day of the concern as they factor in, okay, maybe it'll be a second wave in the summer and maybe in the United States. But as the Wall Street Journal notes, there's also in China a second economic story. Chinese consumers are adding to the factory-led economic recovery. So Chinese consumers were locked down for 3 or 4 months. They are out and buying, or at least they were outside of Beijing this weekend, and that's beginning to percolate through much like the turn to Amazon and Costco and Target and the other direct-to-delivery, direct-to-home. By the way, I had dinner out last night back in Northern Virginia with a senior Trump administration official. And we think the summer, and we dine socially distanced outdoors. Most of Virginia is now eating outside. But the restaurants are doing well, and they're expanding menus slowly, and they're bringing back wait staff slowly, so that's very good. Did the same thing on Saturday afternoon with the family down south in Virginia, and the Wall Street Journal's op-ed page says, new rules for COVID summer. Be flexible and vigilant. America is entering a complicated new phase of the COVID-19 pandemic, writes the Journal. The remainder of 2020 warrants flexibility and tolerance, trying different ways to adapt to new evidence. In a country with such fractured politics, this will be no small challenge. Part of my conversation with our senior unnamed Trump administration official was, how do we rebuild the credibility of the public health people? In every state, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, how do we rebuild credibility when they were absent? And I understand why they were absent. I'm not critical of them. No one could speak in the face of the giant demonstrations following the murder of George Floyd. And that may be impossible to read or do some this week because now there is the killing of a man in Atlanta, 27-year-old Rashard Brooks. Notice I say murder of George Floyd because I've reached my conclusion on George Floyd. He was murdered. I don't know enough about Mr. Brooks, although it looks bad for the Atlanta police. And I'm glad that the Atlanta police chief stepped down. You heard me say on this show last week, when a controversial killing of a civilian by police occurs, whether that civilian is white or black or Latino or Native American or checkerboard, the police chief in that town ought to immediately step down if it appears to be an unwarranted use of lethal force. Accountability goes to the chief. If the chief can't set it up the right way. I also believe that there ought to be maybe a federal law requiring the immediate disestablishment of a police union in any city in which such a civil rights violation occurs. One thing I would like to hear African-American leaders address, I'm going to talk to Ben Carson about this later today, is the fact that the two greatest impediments to reform in their community are police unions and teachers unions. And by far the worst is teachers union. Police, law enforcement officers out there listening to me, I love you people. And you will always have me to protect you against false charges. But I haven't heard of one of you defend the officers involved in the murder of Floyd. I don't know much about the Atlanta situation yet. I've read the story. I've watched the video, some of it off screen. I do not know how close the individual was, Mr. Brooks, when he turned with the taser. I don't know if a taser is lethal force. I don't think that's justified, but I'm going to wait and see. But it's a DUI, and he ran away. How could you shoot the guy? So I think we have a second police killing unjustified, but not brutal like George Floyd, deadly like George Floyd, but not 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I'm going to play for you, by the way. I want you to be prepared. I'm going to play for you a lot of the Reverend Al Sharpton's eulogy of George Floyd. I listened to it twice this weekend. And there's a lot of it I do not like. He attacks President Trump. I don't like it. But there's a lot of it you ought to hear because I don't think you ever hear anything like this. And I didn't know Reverend Al Sharpton could actually preach this way. It's fairly comprehensive and not a little inspiring. And I want to play it for you before Ben Carson because this show talks about what people need to hear. And you need to hear the perspective of the black community articulately expressed through the Reverend Al. You may not like Al. I like Al. A lot of you don't like Al. Larry Elder doesn't like Al. I think Al has changed over the course of the 30 years I've known him into a responsible critic, though we don't agree on anything. I enjoy being on his show. And I want you to hear that. But this Atlanta shooting has sparked new outrage. That is the key rundown story of the day. I don't know if people have the energy to do it all again. I don't know. The Washington Post, killing of black men in Atlanta puts spotlight anew on police as prosecutors contemplate charges against officers. I'll wait for the prosecutors on that. Then, from the New York Times, police killings prompt reassessment of laws allowing deadly force. And that might be appropriate. I don't know. I believe police reform is pretty far advanced in most places in the United States. But as you'll hear, Al Sharpton say in hour two, how do these people get into the force in the first place? What about qualified immunity? That's a court-created doctrine, by the way, that my friend Clark Neely thinks is terrible. I'm not an expert in it. And police unions protecting everyone, like teachers' unions protecting the worst teachers. Why do we have them? Where did they come from? Why do we not get rid of them? Police unions and teacher unions are the worst things to happen to American public policy, and especially the inner cities, in the last 100 years. Police unions and teachers unions do a lot of good things, but they always end up protecting the worst of the worst because of their union approach. And that's not good for anyone. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
And so, become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I hope you're watching on YouTube or on Instagram right now, because I'd like you to see, as well as hear, some of President Trump's address to the graduates of West Point class of 2020. He went to West Point on Saturday, gave a very good speech. Very few people saw it because, of course, it's Saturday and people are out and about on Saturday. I'd like to begin with the president's cut number five. The president salutes the creed of West Point, which always bears hearing again and again. Cut number five.
Today you graduate as one class, and you embody one noble creed: duty, honor, country. Every graduate on this field could have gone to virtually any top-ranked university that you wanted. You chose to devote your life to the defense of America. You came to West Point because you know the truth. America is the greatest country in human history. And the United States military is the greatest force for peace and justice the world has ever known. The survival of America and the endurance of civilization itself depends on the men and women just like each of you. It depends on people who love their country with all their heart and energy and soul. It depends on citizens who build, sustain, nurture, and defend institutions like this one. That is how societies are made and how progress is advanced. What has historically made America unique is the durability of its institutions against the passions and prejudices of the moment. When times are turbulent, when the road is rough, what matters most is that which is permanent, timeless, enduring, and eternal. It was on this soil that American patriots held the most vital fortress in our war for independence. It was this school that gave us the men and women who fought and won a bloody war to extinguish the evil of slavery within one lifetime of our founding.
He also went on to talk about the great graduates of West Point, not a Confederate, thank God, among them. Cut number six.
It was the graduates of West Point, towering figures like MacArthur, Patton, Eisenhower, and Bradley, who led America to victory over the sinister Nazis and imperial fascists 75 years ago. It was under the leadership of West Point graduates like the legendary General Matthew Ridgway that the Army was at the forefront of ending the terrible injustice of segregation. It was Army strength that held the line against brutal opposition and oppression from communism. And it has been thanks to patriots like you that America has climbed to new heights of human achievement and national endeavor. This is your history. This is the legacy that each of you inherits. It is the legacy purchased with American blood at the crest of Little Round Top, on the crimson beaches of Normandy, in the freezing mud of Bastogne, and the dense jungles of Vietnam. It is the legacy of courageous, selfless, faithful patriots who fought for every inch of dirt with every ounce of strength and every last scrap of heart and drive and grit that they had. And they did it because they believed in the undying principles of our founding.
That's President Trump at West Point on Saturday. I'll play some more clips from it. It was a marvelous address. I don't know if you saw much about it, but it hit all the right notes. President Trump swinging into West Point to the reassembled cadets to say thank you to them and to their families watching by remote television. It was a great speech. I'll play more of it for you right after the break. You are listening to and stay tuned to the QQ It Show.
Rock and roll was young people stood in line to hear music that played into their lives, that you could carry till the day you die. Hey man, sing me a song.
Welcome back, America. I'm QQ It on Monday, June 15th, 2020, in the year of the plague. We lost about 350 Americans yesterday to the virus, but the country is reopening. It will not stay shut. People are calculating the risk, and I believe we have intuited the rules, which are if you are older than 70, you really ought not to go out. If you're older than 80, definitely not. If you are sick, stay home, even if you've got a head cold, because coronavirus doesn't often hit people hard if they're younger in good shape. You've got to exercise if you're my age, 64. You got to be in good shape because if it gets you, you want to have your respiratory system going. I'll tell you more about that. But I think we've intuited that you can go for ice cream. You can walk around outside. You can run. Wear masks if you can. Try and be as responsible as possible. We'll get through this. I think schools are going to reopen. They have to. America is going to just put its head down, adopt common sense policies, and move forward. And school districts, if you're listening, open your schools. And if you have older teachers, retire them. Give them packages and retire them. Because they are at risk. Not your younger teachers, by and large. Not your students, almost all of them. Your older teachers. Time to give them buyouts and make it possible for them to retire with dignity. But to also clear your school. You can't hold the hostage, everybody in the school hostage, for your oldest quartile, quintile, one-tenth of the school. I want to go back to President Trump speaking at West Point because not many of you heard it. It was a very good speech. This is cut number 7, the president at West Point on Saturday.
They did it because they cherish their homes, their faith, their family, and their flag. And they did it because when they came to this school, they were taught to hold fast to their love of our country, to cherish our heritage, learn from it, and build upon it. That is what young Americans are taught here at West Point. That is the legacy that you carry forward as second lieutenants in the United States Army, and you must never forget it. Through 4 long years, you have honed your skills, trained your mind and body, overcome every obstacle, and earned your place of pride in the long gray line. You made it through the rigors of our day and beast, an intensity of CLDT and weeks of training in the blistering heat. You have pushed yourselves far beyond every limit imaginable. Some of you have even pushed the limits a bit too much. So for any cadets who have not finished walking off their hours, as Commander-in-Chief, I hereby absolve all cadets on restriction for minor conduct offenses, and that is effective immediately. Congratulations. That's a nice one, isn't it? Don't you feel better now?
Stop for a second. I believe, by the way, that that is, as a lawyer, he said all cadets. He didn't just say the graduating class. He said all cadets. And so if I'm you can't have demerits if you're incoming. But if you're a second or a third year rising, I think you got the blanket presidential pardon. That's how I read that. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I don't know. He might have meant graduate. He said all cadets. All cadets means all cadets. I think it's all gone. That's my way of reading it. He turned to talk about some of the great leaders who had emerged from West Point. Cut number 10.
We need you to be as bold and determined as the immortal General Douglas MacArthur, who knew that the American soldier never, ever quits after leaving the Philippines for Australia. At a low point of the Pacific War in 1942, MacArthur famously vowed, "I shall return." For 2 years, he then took great strategic risks and placed himself often in personal danger. On October 20th, 1944, MacArthur stepped off a landing boat, strode through knee-high water, and proclaimed, "People of the Philippines, I have returned. By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil." He then called upon the island's brave people to rise up and join the fight. America's momentum was unstoppable. These great leaders were not afraid of what others might say about them. They didn't care. They knew their duty was to protect our country. They knew the Army exists to preserve the Republic and the strong foundations upon which it stands. Family, God, country, liberty, and justice. They were true, tough American patriots. That is what our country needs, especially in these times. And that is what you are. Each of you begins your career in the Army at a crucial moment in American history. We are restoring the fundamental principles that the job of the American soldier is not to rebuild foreign nations, but defend and defend strongly our nation from foreign enemies.
That point gets elaboration from President Trump in the most policy-specific excerpt of his speech at West Point on Saturday. Cut number 11.
We are ending the era of endless wars. In its place is a renewed, clear-eyed focus on defending America's vital interests. It is not the duty of U.S. troops to solve ancient conflicts in faraway lands that many people have never even heard of. We are not the policemen of the world, but let our enemies be on notice. If our people are threatened, we will never, ever hesitate to act. And when we fight, from now on, we will only fight to win. As MacArthur said, in war, there is no substitute for victory. To ensure you have the very best equipment and technology available, my administration has embarked on a colossal rebuilding of the American armed forces. A record like no other. After years of devastating budget cuts and a military that was totally depleted from these endless wars. We have invested over $2 trillion, that's with a T, dollars, in the most powerful fighting force by far on the planet Earth. We are building new ships, bombers, jet fighters, and helicopters by the hundreds, new tanks, military satellites, rockets, and missiles, even a hypersonic missile that goes 17 times faster than the fastest missile currently available in the world and can hit a target 1,000 miles away within 14 inches from center point.
That is the game changer, and we are far ahead of the People's Republic of China on it. It's a game changer. We need a lot of them. They're expensive. They ought to be in phase four of the rescue package, which will be emerging this summer. One final cut from the president's speech at West Point, cut number 14, where he talks about how West Point and the other service academies, by extension, indeed, every person of the armed services from private to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is necessary to the survival of the country. Cut number 14.
And the survival of our nation still depends on the great chain reaching out from this place, one made not of iron, but of flesh and blood, of memory and spirit, of sheer faith and unyielding courage. Today, each of you becomes another link in that unbroken chain, forged in the crucible known as the United States Military Academy, the greatest on earth. It has given you soldiers that you can rely on to your right and to your left. And now we are entrusting you with the most noble task any warrior has ever had the privilege to carry out, the task of preserving American liberty. As long as you remain loyal, faithful, and true, then our enemies don't even stand a chance. Our rights will never be stolen. Our freedoms will never be trampled. Our destiny will never be denied, and the United States of America will never be defeated. With the grace of God and the heroes of West Point, America will always prevail. Nothing will stand in your way. Nothing will slow you down, and nothing will stop the West Point class of 2020 from achieving a true and lasting victory. God bless you. God bless the United States Army. And God bless America. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
It was one of President Trump's better speeches in the United States. I always think his best three are his speech in Saudi Arabia, his speech in Poland, his speech at Normandy. But I thought it was succinct. In the middle of the chaos of the pandemic, in the middle of the reaction to the death of George Floyd and large demonstrations, I thought he hit exactly the right notes about the military. Interesting exchange yesterday. I asked my Baker Mayfield in rather harsh terms. There's two parts of Baker Mayfield I want to talk about. A fan asked him, "Will you be kneeling?" Baker Mayfield responded, "Get your head out. Of course I will be kneeling." Now, the first part of that is objectionable to me. The decision to kneel or not to kneel, that's complicated. I asked three uniformed members of the services over on active duty, all of whom have been in combat zones in the last 6 months. They don't object to players kneeling. They believe it is now very specifically directed at racism in law enforcement on the occasions where it occurs. So they don't object. I object to Baker Mayfield telling a fan, "Get your head out." Because there are divisions of opinion on this that are legitimate on both sides, and I think professional athletes owe respect to their fan bases. But more on that later. Selena Zito is next. America, stay tuned. Welcome back, America. Time for the Yinzer Report with Selena Zito. She, who writes for the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Examiner, the New York Post, she's a energizer bunny of writing. Selena, how are you on this Monday?
Good morning, Sunshine. I'm awesome. How are you?
Terrific. I want to start with sitting down with the vice president. When did you interview Vice President Pence? What were the circumstances? I have tweeted out the link. What's the most important part of the interview? And by the way, thank you for joining us on Skype. You look terrific. Did you get up and do your hair and all that stuff?
Yeah, but I always do.
Okay.
Good. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, so that's what you do. You got up and you kind of look nice for yourself.
Yep.
So he was in Pittsburgh to kick off the American priorities to get America back to work. So he visited a plant that was kept open during the coronavirus. But he also went and met in the African-American community with faith leaders. And that, to me, in the interview, is sort of the most emotional, important part, where he talked about what happened to George Floyd, how we go forward with our police departments. And you could tell he got really emotional because I talked to him right after he went to the Covenant Church that it really impacted him. He was there for a long time. He went there with Pat Toomey. And then he sat with me for about a half hour and just talked about a variety of things. But to me, that and getting America back to birth work were the really important part of the interview.
You know, I am going to play next hour portions of the Reverend Al Sharpton's eulogy of George Floyd, which I'll bet this audience have not heard before. There's a lot of it I don't like where he condemns the president, but there's a lot that I found typical of the inspiring rhetoric one will find in the African-American church, at least the predominantly African-American congregations of the AME. And is that what the vice president heard? Was that what he was reacting to?
What was really great is the event was a sit down with I think there were four African American pastors in and around from southwestern Pennsylvania. And it was a real give and take, but he really talked a lot. I mean, he really listened a lot, and there wasn't yelling there, but it was very beautiful and it was very powerful. And some of the things they really mourned also. Were the destruction of African American communities during these riots and protests, and how Antifa has sort of infiltrated their movement and it sort of broke their heart.
Now, Selena, I have to switch quickly to your Wall Street Journal piece on Pennsylvania and voting and to your Examiner column on seniors. Can you summarize both of those? I've tweeted out links to them so people can go and find them and then go to selenazito.com to find all of your writing. But what about those two pieces?
So the senior citizens are going to be the defining vote, the most important voting bloc in the entire 2020. People think it's going to be suburban moms, suburban dads, or NASCAR dads, whatever, people in the street rioting. No, it's going to be the seniors. They show up at 70 percentile rate. They went heavily for Donald Trump in 2020. There's an ABC News poll that shows them moving away from him, but that's only with registered voters, and that was before defund the police. There was a softening. I'm not quite convinced that that Biden has won them back. And the Wall Street Journal piece is about the problem we have in Pennsylvania with our voting system. We just went into mail-in voting, and while the process went really, really well, what didn't go well is the counting. Only one.
Up, did we lose? Oh. You froze there, Selena. What happened to the counting?
Allegheny County got it right. All 66 other counties, not so much. They're still counting in Philadelphia. Well, that means in November, the potential exists that Pennsylvania might not go until well into a week later. And that's unacceptable, I think, for the country.
How do they change that in time, or can they change that in time?
That's
rife with the chance for fraud. And Pennsylvania's the whole election.
Pennsylvania is the whole election. And I think they need to invest in high-speed counters in the way that Allegheny County did. And the state government did give them monies to do that. Unfortunately, a lot of these counties did not invest in them. Allegheny County was done at 2 o'clock in the morning. As I said, Philadelphia and a handful of the per-collar counties are still counting by hand.
Wow, that is a terrible. Oh, this election season is going to be terrible if we're waiting for Philadelphia. If we're waiting for Pennsylvania for a week, I do think it's coming down to Pennsylvania. Trump. By the way, I think seniors are coming back to Trump. This to fund the police and the free state of Seattle. What do you think of the free state of Seattle, Selena?
I think it's awful. I think it's absolutely awful. It's like a mini version of Fort Sumter. You know, they took over their own block of this country. How is this acceptable?
It's not acceptable. It's Biden Town. I saw a bunch of Trump people calling it Biden Town in Seattle, and I think that's true. That's what you're going to get with Joe Biden if you vote for Joe Biden, is Biden Town in Seattle. SelenaZito.com. SelenaZito.com. Thank you, Selena. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned.
Hey, Selena, can you hear me now?